Time to welcome back our intrepid auctioneers and world travelers. Tip Luke and Craig Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. It is time for Appraise This. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com. And how does it feel to be back in the U.S. of A. after your whirlwind trip of Italy?
Oh, it feels good to be home. It's nice to sleep in your own bed.
Well, you had well, you had to. I was following your adventures on Facebook, is this the first time you've been to Italy?
No, this is actually our third time, but this the first time.
Different parts.
Yeah, this time we sort of recreated our first trip because we traveled with some good friends of ours from Wheeling, West Virginia, who actually was a guest on our. On our show sometime, Kristen Byron, she's the director of the Mansion Museum in Wheeling, West Virginia, in Ogilby. So we traveled with them, and we took them to some of the places that we sojourned on our very first trip, and it was wonderful. It was really, really good. We had a good time.
Well, you know, Arthur Schwartz, he talks about Italy all the time, and when he talks about it, people don't realize, but also the different regions of Italy and food, yes. How food in the north and food in the south
treated so different.
Totally different. Totally
food
different.
Food in Tuscany is all about the meat and, you know, wild boar and the beef and everything, and then when you get to Venice, it's all seafood and mushrooms.
Well, I have to talk about this, and I've had this. This is from October 14th, and there was a big spread in the New York Times and in Gordon Getty Collection. And the auction was held online, and it's actually going through the day today. But this is an amazing spread.
Yeah.
I think it was. I think it was much anticipated, and the marketing for it was really very good. And they ended up, I think they exceeded their expectations. I think it sold for close to $80 million.
Yes, it did. We saw that while we were traveling. We saw what it was selling for, and. You know, this goes to everything that we've been talking about. When you have a collection with a provenance and a background and a history such as this one, it really makes a difference into what collectors, not only what they will ultimately spend, but also it's the pride in ownership is also the bragging rights is basically what it comes down to, is saying, oh, this was part of their collection and now it's mine and it's in my collection.
And, you know, if that wasn't enough, the day before that, the Foundation Louis Vuitton had a Monet and Mitchell auction and that of showing. And this is actually going on now through February of 2023. And this is another full page add an article on this.
That one I haven't. When was the? Is that sale happening at this very moment? Or must have started.
It started October 5th and it's running through the 27th. I'm not sure if it's a sale or if it's just a show. But once again, see back to back in editions, the amazing world of art. It really
yes.
And you see the names. It's like when you're talking sports. There's a few names that are. That immediately raised the attention of even non-sports fans. And both these were the same way with art.
Correct. And, Marshall, I think it's an exhibition because I saw a friend of mine posted some photos where she was there and some things about it. She said, just amazing. So the luxury, a good number of the luxury good houses also have set up foundations. And those foundations go to help. They do a lot of charitable work. And a lot of people don't realize that. Actually, I didn't realize that until we went to the Ferragamo Museum. And I didn't realize that the owner, and I forget his first name, Mr. Ferragamo, he had died in the I think mid-50s, and his wife had to take over the company. So she ran the company until she passed, and then of course their children jumped in there, but it was a strong female influence that was running this company. And they also had a foundation, or have, they have a foundation, and they support a lot of various charities that help get women back to work, or giving them jobs and different things. So I'm positive that Louis Vuitton is probably doing the same thing, is that it's raising funds for a certain thing, but I'll have to look into that a little more.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up about the foundations, because my next story, and Craig, you're always talking about this with me. Well, I find it's pretty amazing when art gets auctioned off and it gets puts away forever, and it to me it doesn't go to the right place. But Christie's, once again, the hometown museum, the L.S. Lowry hometown museum, won the fundraising bid to buy a painting worth $8.7 million, and they did it with the help of a foundation, which gave them the money to do it, and they're the ones that really should show that painting.
Yeah, well, you know what strong feelings I have about this. I just think it's, for lack of a better word, almost criminal that these things, a lot of times, they just go from one private collector to another with no intention of ever letting it see the light of day for the public. And I don't know. I've always advocated that if something, even if it's a short period of time, please, to these owners, please let it be shown in an exhibition or in a traveling exhibition, at least maybe for 1 year. And then if you want to squirrel it away, that's your your privilege. But I really believe very strongly that art, especially art of this import, should be made available for everyone to at least look at. So that's something that, as we've talked about in the past, is like, that's one of my pet peeves about this disposable income, being able to buy these things.
Right, but in this particular case, it was this Law Family Charitable Foundation, yep, that did pony up the $8.7 million to help keep that Lowry painting, or to keep that painting at the museum, so that the piece could be enjoyed, because it was Lowry's hometown, and it has been on display since 2020, I'm sorry. It's been on display since 2000. And it is something that, this was a good thing that we had a foundation step in to help keep the painting there at the museum. So it will enjoy and won't be moved, which is good.
And you know that there's another point there too, Tim, that there's the whole thing with foundations, if it's a charitable foundation, but a lot of the foundations that people are aware of in art, those are not necessarily the charitable arm of the foundation, but the foundation to authenticate, which is a different aspect of what a foundation has. So right. There, just don't get confused, but when you hear a foundation for Gucci, you think that it's just charitable, because they also have a wing of that foundation that verifies the authenticity of all of its products. And not just that, but also in art, because we've had to deal with some of these foundations in the past. Some of them are easy to, more, let's just say, some of them are easier to deal with than others. That's one way to leave it.
Right.
All right. Now we can move from that section of when you guys get rid of your cell phones, you turn them in, you trade them in, right?
Oh yes,
yes.
Yeah. Well, this one guy had a first generation iPhone, mm-hmm, and it went on auction, and It got nearly $40,000. Originally, he paid $499 for it. That's not a bad return.
Good for him.
That's not a bad return on. That's not a bad return on investment.
No,
no. But what you've heard us talk about the first of anything in the past, and this that would be like the very first Apple computer. I mean, look how much those have sold for. And so good for him. Where, as a matter of fact, I think Tim's new phone is coming today. So
yeah, 14.
Yeah. And mine is coming, I think, next week. But that's great. Oh, that makes that's a good feeling. I that's why I get happy when somebody wins the lottery, even if it's not me. It's just good for them.
they can turn that into cash. Also, he had not only the original, he had the original box that goes with it. So let's talk about condition. Let's talk about the way that things are being presented. So it's not just this number one that with a cracked screen and. You know, because a lot of people hear this, oh, the number one iPhone sells for $40,000. Oh, I have a whole drawer full of iPhones or whatever if they haven't traded them in, because usually you do. You have to make sure that it's not in, you know, the condition is, it's not cracked screen and all that other stuff. So this was something that was in very good condition and with the original box and probably all the original cords and paperwork as well.
Well, you bring up... kind of a humorous point here, and that's the Apple boxes. When we first started with Apple, I think we've been with Apple now for, oh goodness, maybe 20 years or so. But when we first started getting Apple, you know, all the products in the orchard, the boxes themselves, the packing was so beautiful that we decided, well, we got to keep these. Well, so, you know, when you, the boxes themselves are, I think the boxes themselves are like little miniature pieces of art, the way everything fits just perfectly. So to have the original iPhone with the original packaging, that's good for him.
Well,
good for him.
I misspoke, not only original, but unopened with the cellophane still around it.
Oh my God. So he bought it exactly for the reason that he ended up selling it for.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not to use it.
Never
he
used.
Bought...
yeah.
Who would think? I'm okay, so he bought it when it was the original, and he must have thought, not unlike the first Apple computer, that this first iPhone was probably going to eventually not only grow in popularity, but the first of the iPhone would probably sell for a lot of money, and it did. Well, once again, good for you, buddy. That's great.
You see, I see stories like this, and I go crazy. I actually owned a Commodore VIC-20. Now, if people don't realize, that was the first computer that went out for general public use that you really had to know something about computing and stuff like that to make it work. I had a Commodore VIC-20, the keyboard, a computer and a screen, and I had no idea what I did with it, but that probably altogether would be worth something today because it was the first of a generation of computers that went out for general public use.
You know, for next week, I will promise you I'll do a little bit of research and digging here. I'll go into deep Google and I'll have some answers, but that would be an interesting...
Well, electronics have been really, I mean, look at, we've talked about them before, the first Apple, the first, you know, there's a number of different electronics in the game console, you know, the console players of the early Atari and things like that. I mean, those have all sold, and there are people that really desire those things.
Well, I just remember I bought it at a store called Montgomery Ward's. I'm not sure anybody even knows about Montgomery Ward's.
Oh, yes.
Of course I remember. You forget. Well, you forget. We're contemporaries. If nothing else, we're contemporaries. Oh, I grew up with, Montgomery Ward's, yes.
Another side of the past. All right, we'll wrap up here with a French decorative art sold at a hotel. Brought in $75 million at Sotheby's. French decorative art, $75 million. It was held at Hotel Lambert, and Sotheby's put this on.
Oh, that was a big sale. That was just recently, as a matter of fact. I think it happened when we were in Italy.
Yeah, it happened on the 17th.
Yeah. So I wasn't able to follow the sale because where we were, we had kind of a weak signal. But I was getting the updates on it. And what did the sale finally do? Did it say?
$75 million.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I don't know if you saw any of the stuff in there, but it was truly just magnificent stuff. I mean, it was an unbelievably beautiful sale.
I was more amazed at the stuff made look like it was inside of Donald Trump's
some of it, yes. But if you started looking through the catalog and you saw the individual pieces, you know, when they show the photos of what the rooms, it did look, it was a little it was a lot ostentatious. But individually, the pieces, some of them, you know, people have not seen, ever seen, especially in that condition. So I'm glad that it did so well, because there were some absolutely exquisite decorative arts in that sale that don't come up all that often.
But listen to the history of the house. The Rothschilds picked up the house in 1975 and restored it, okay? Then in 2007, Qatar's Sheikh Hamad Al bin Abdullah picked up the property to the house for $90 million. And he even restored it even more. And now the house itself is worth $147 million. The history of the people that have owned that house. And then you look at the auction, and the people that were at the auction and in the auction is amazing. It's amazing. I mean, you wouldn't expect anything different when you see a story like this.
Yeah.
Well, so now, before we leave, I want to ask you each, what was your favorite part of your trip to Italy this time?
I don't even have to hesitate. When we were in Venice, we went to see Daughter of the Regiment at La Fenice, the opera house in Venice, which is one of the most magnificent opera houses in the world. And it's always been a dream of mine to go in there, but I had no idea that I would actually have the opportunity to sit and watch an opera in La Fenice. It was spectacular.
That was very cool. That was a real highlight. And just to be different, one of my favorite cities was touring around Siena and just going around watching. We had lunch on the plaza there where they run the Paleo, and just being in that medieval city was just a lot of fun. A close second was Montepulciano with all the wine tasting, but you know, that's a different thing.
For me, the second most important thing that we did was to go into the Peggy Guggenheim Museum on the Grand Canal.
Yes.
We had to take Kristen in there because she's the director of a museum, and it was just as magnificent this time as it was the last time we were there. And it's almost a religious experience to go into the Peggy Guggenheim
collection. It was great. That was great.
Now, you see, here's the difference between you guys and myself. When I go on vacation, if I were in Italy, my favorite thing that I would compare would be the food I ate. And Greg, I would think, because you with your cooking and everything, I would think that you had a favorite meal that you had there.
Well, actually, yeah, we had a cooking class. Well, I think, yes, but we had a cooking class set up so that they would come to the villa. And so everybody, you participated in it was an interactive dinner, which was very fun because everything was made fresh. We had an Italian chef that was there. That was really a highlight as well. But we only had one sort of bad, for lack of a better word, meal. Everything else was absolutely spectacular. And I think we were in where was it, Tim, where we went with Dario's? That was
Panzano.
And it was a 13 course lunch. Now it was, you know, smaller plates, yeah. But you know, in Italy, a smaller plate, it just is, there's a little less on the plate. It's not a really small plate. And six of the 13 courses were meat. So I am telling you, that was definitely a highlight. So
that was delicious, but it was fun. It was fun.
And so now you're back home and you're relaxed and you're going to rest for a while, or you're back out on this, back out on the road, Tim.
I'll be back out on the road next week. So next week I'll be talking to you from Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll be here, but I will be taking 2 days of classes. I have to I have to take the requalification class for USPAP, the 7-hour, and you have to do that every 2 years. And my class is 2 days next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I'm here and I'm getting ready to do a team building dinner for one of the local banks here. And that's coming up. That'll be coming up at some time in the near future. So I'm in discussions with them for that. So no grass grows, I'll tell you.
Well, it's nice to have you guys back after a couple of weeks. But it was nice. This is one of the nice things about Facebook. Even though you were away, you weren't away, because we can keep
talking. That's it. Well, we had to make sure that people knew that we were all fine and everything was good. But yeah, it was a wonderful experience. We needed the time away, and it's good to be back home.
Well, it's good to have you guys back on the air, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, have wonderful. A great week.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here at Robin Hood Radio. You can find them at our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on on-demand, click on Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Schramm. And you can also find them at their website, which is tqag.com on the web.